from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Daryl, how are you?
I'm good. What's weird?
We thought it was weird that Deshaun didn't know he was starting against Seattle after Kevin had said it.
He knew.
And end of drama.
That's it. He knew?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It came off as weird.
Playing close to the best, you know.
Great. That's fabulous news. Before we get to anything else.
I mean, really, do you honestly think he did not know?
I said that right away to Jeff, but then I was like,
I agree with you, Daryl, but like, okay. Why say it, Daryl?
Because he didn't know
that Kevin had already told the media. That he may not have known, right?
Yeah, I think that's possible, but I can't speak to media strategy and how they answer questions.
You're there every day. You should be the expert. I'm just teasing you, Daryl. I don't know. Crazy couple days here. All right, first of all, just what's going on today and your thoughts on the Vikings being here. Start there.
Second joint practice. Be on the lookout to see how the approaches change on day two. I'll set the over-under on potential fights at 0.5 because that's usually on the second day when the fights happen. Yesterday, the Browns defense was I think a little more physical with the Vikings offense than the Vikings defense was with the Browns offense. But then again, the Browns offense spent most of the day shooting themselves in the foot, especially the offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see if, Minnesota comes out with a more aggressive approach from a physicality standpoint here on day two to kind of match, what they got on day one.
Did Kevin O'Connell really pull Jim Schwartz aside and say, hey, tone it down, dude? Of course, as Minnesota reporters said.
I was watching the Browns offense, so I did not see or hear that, so I can't dispute it. But if he really did, I honestly have to chuckle a little bit. Because that, right? I mean, it does happen in these, type of practices.
It was interesting to hear Ken this morning, because Ken said he was standing out there yesterday. He said the defensive backs were like completely turned up the noise on those guys.
Oh,
they were
yeah.
talking, I mean, just like through the roof.
Oh, well, we could hear across the field. You could hear the hooting and hollering and the chirping that was coming from the Browns defenders. It was very clear. They were enjoying day one against the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know that Minnesota shared that opinion.
That sounds interesting. What's going on at left tackle? How's Jedrick Wills? How do you see that thing playing out?
They may have to go get a left tackle because what they have right now is not very good. At least I'm not impressed with it. They can't even line up correctly in a joint practice. That's a little bit of a problem. So they got a tackle problem right now. They really do. That was one of the worst offensive line practices I've ever seen. I counted at least 7 flags were thrown. They gave up a bunch of virtual sacks. They really did not do a good job handling the pressure that they got from Minnesota's defensive front. So... hopefully that was a one-day thing, but if that is indicative of what's to come in the regular season, better get some bubble wrap for Deshaun Watson.
All right, so, Daryl, let's clarify who was at left tackle, because Jed Wills is on the PUP. And so who was playing left tackle yesterday?
Well, you got James Hudson, you got Adeniji, and you got Afidi. So those are the three guys that are right now rotating in with the first team.
Any chance that we see a young man from Ohio State who's in his second year move to that side?
Or can he play right and left at the same time?
I think he needs to work on his own position right now first, then worrying about making a move.
Okay. What if Jack Conklin's good to go?
I really think they miss Bill Callahan. I'm sorry. Like, I think they miss Bill Callahan. I really do. Like I said, that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen in a practice by a Browns offensive line in a very long time. Like, it was awful. It really was. Like, it was so bad that Kevin Stefanski admitted it after practice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Kevin never, you know what I mean? Like, that's how bad it was. Even the head coach acknowledged it but multiple times.
How does that happen when you're still practicing with each other every day? Are they just not getting enough work done that when they go into some of these, you know, the combined scrimmage or, you know, 11-on-11 stuff, that they're not getting enough work, that they don't know how to do that with some kind of synchronicity?
I don't know. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Joel Bitonio talked today at the other podium while Deshaun was talking. I got done reading what he had to say. He said it was a lot of alignment issues, which again, there shouldn't be any, there's no excuse for that. If you don't know how to line up properly, you probably shouldn't be in the NFL. I'm sorry. Like that, it's just, that's basic football, knowing where you're supposed to line up.
And also, I was going to say, listening to your concern, what are your thoughts on Wills or Conklin being back to start the season?
As we get closer to September and, you know, not seeing them doing anything is concerning. Jack popped out to watch a little bit of practice yesterday. That was good to see. We've seen Jed Wills working on the side really from the start of camp. I want to say the second or third day at the Greenbrier. Is when Jed kind of went over and started working with the bike brigade and whatnot. They better hope both those guys are ready week one. That's kind of where I'm at right now. That's not to say that we can't get vast improvement, but I mean, you saw the preseason game Saturday, right?
Yep.
So I don't know. Is my concern unfounded? After watching that game?
I don't know. I think I fell asleep after the third play. So.
Aren't you guys all jovial?
I mean, that just wasn't exactly the bless those fans that went to the game and had a good time. Let me just say that.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Daryl, is the running back situation as simple right now as Jerome Ford starts until Nick comes back? Or could we see Deontay Foreman, Pierre Strong in significant roles?
Well, Pierre Strong took a pop yesterday, so we'll see if he even practices today. Dante Foreman, I think it's Jerome Ford, the number one running back, until Chubb comes back.
And dominating carries in games?
I don't know that I'd use the word dominating because I don't know how many carries they're actually going to have in games. The run game is not what the run game was the last couple of years under Stefanski, and that's pretty clear to me as I watch these practices.
I know Kevin didn't want to talk about it yesterday. Where are we with Mike Hall? Where's the story going right now?
Well, he suffered a stinger in yesterday's practice. That's why he left.
Right.
We'll see if he practices today. Clearly, the Browns are not at all concerning themselves with the optics of anything. So, if he's healthy, he'll practice today. That's kind of how I see it, just based on what they did yesterday. So if you put him on the field yesterday, outside of injury, no use taking him off the field today, right? So if he's healthy, I would anticipate he practices today as they just, you know, move along business as usual, like nothing is going on.
Were you surprised by that or no?
Surprised, no. Disappointed, yeah. But, you know, I think we know the Browns' record when it comes to handling player misconduct off the field.
Daryl, should they have stayed away from a guy who had issues that had him off of other teams' boards?
I mean, Andrew Berry's job is to find guys that can play football, and he can play football. And, you know, Berry has shown us that he's not real concerned with the off-the-field stuff. He's willing to take give guys second chances and whatnot. And obviously, you know, the ball falls in their court what they do with them. But, like, I mean, I just think that the GM should have been out front answering the questions yesterday and not the head coach. That's one of my criticisms of Andrew Berry, is that anytime one of his guys gets in trouble, the head coach is left twisted in the wind and having to answer all those questions for the organization. And I just think that the guy that brings the player into the organization should be the one that has to answer those questions. That's just me.
And me. I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah, I agree. We oftentimes, when there's something that just is off the beaten path, or especially with legal issues, that is the time to see the
coach
manager.
Is hired to coach the team, and the front office brings in the players. So I agree with you completely, Daryl.
That's a good point. That's a good point on that. Yeah. Has it affected the team at all? Can you feel it in the mood?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Other than if, you know, they're asked a question or two, but no, I don't think it affects them. You know, as you know, these guys, when they get in between the lines or they get in the building and they're in their meeting rooms and stuff like that, they're focused on the stuff that they're supposed to be doing in relation to whether it's preparing for a practice, preparing for a game, whatever. I don't think that they're overly concerned about anything that may or may not be going on with a player in their personal lives.
Mm. All right, Daryl, he's got the latest for us when it comes to the Browns and the Minnesota joint practices that they're having right now, and he's got the over-under at 0.5 for fights today. So that seems minimal.
At day two, it's hot, right?
Two.
There's got to be a fight today, right?
Yeah, that's why I think you're low. I think the over-under should be two.
Oh, you think I'm low?
Yeah, it should be two.
Well, you got to go a half.
You got to go a half.
Two and a half.
Because if there's two fights, it's a push. We got to do half. So you doing 1.5?
No, I'm doing 2.5. 2.5.
You're going. Oh, so you think there's going to be three fights today? Wow.
Taking the under, but it's going to be 2.5. How's that sound?
I don't think we're going to have a. I think we're going to have a little scuffle. And they're going to break it up real fast. Like because that's how Kevin Stefanski does. You know, Kevin didn't really tolerate the fighting thing. But I think at some point, someone's going to lose their temper today. It's hot. It's muggy. Yeah, good day to be grumpy.
And Daryl Ryder would know. That's why you should listen to us on the podcast as well. Goodbye, Daryl. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye.
See you guys.
Daryl Ryder, he's got all the latest for you on the Browns in Berea. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about what Daryl had to say, especially with the Mike Hall stuff, which we haven't even touched today. So we'll talk about that when we come back. As you speak about Ohio State there for a second, did anyone for a second think that Will Howard was not going to be the starting quarterback for Ohio State?
I'm sure the guy he was competing with.
No.
His NIL value is $1 million. So,
oh, that's dirt cheap these days, Andy.
I'm just reading this from On3. On3 says his NIL value is $973,000. Think about that.
That's dirt cheap these days, Andy.
Which is like almost if he stays.
If you're going to buy a quarterback, I'm going to the three or four mil variety. I'm getting one.
Because that was funny. Every time we'd have Tim May on, I mean, like, is Will Howard getting the gig? Is he getting the gig? And he's like, yeah, he's got it. There's no problem. I didn't think there was any question that he wasn't going to win that battle. So, Will Howard's your starting quarterback. That's you heard there. Jeff, I want to get back into the Browns. I just want to make sure that I don't lose you here because you are 100% just intently watching a little bit of baseball that's going on the screen.
Well, during the break, I was.
Well, I mean, but you were like
Puerto Rico against Japan, Little League World Series. One of the Japanese kids had his front foot behind home plate, and the Puerto Rican pitcher wouldn't pitch him inside. Walked him.
You're mad at me.
Put it under his fist and let's go, man.
You're kidding me, right?
No. Like, pitch him inside.
First of all.
I mean, the kid's crowding the plate. His hands were on the outside edge of the plate. Stuff a fastball right under his elbows at that point get a called strike.
You're assuming this kid has that kind of control, right? Whoever's
pitching.
Well,
if he doesn't, then that gets him off.
Then they shouldn't be in the World Series.
No, that gets him off the plate too, doesn't it?
Maybe the wrong way. Help me, Kevin. Okay, thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle.
That's Kyle?
Oh, yeah, that's
they
Kyle
just sound. They just sound the same.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was Kevin.
They sound the same.
And then the other thing is like you act like the Little League managers have monitors in their dugout. I don't think they do
hey,
they?
Andy, I was just paying attention to a TV screen and the monitor during the break for 45 seconds.
No need
to make it a topic.
No. Your emotions based on what we were watching. Like,
crowding the plate, put a fastball under his elbows and get a called strike and back him off the plate. Let's go.
Jeff, I've never
Instead,
seen you.
Instead, they walked
you...
him, then a passed ball.
Yeah.
Now this kid drops a double down the right field line. So look what happens when you just let a hitter control the at-bat.
Jeff, what I'm saying is it's this passion you have for watching these kids play that sometimes it's hard to –
I helped coach a U-12 team this summer. I can't get it out of my system yet.
Oh, so you need to spit after saying that.
You know what you really need to do if you're going to coach a U-12 team, not to take us off topic? You need to wear baseball pants and a jersey. You need to look just like I highly recommend that for anybody that wants to coach, even girls, softball, whatever. Those are the ones I have respect for, are the coaches that show up wearing, you know, game pants and ready to go. If it's you should do that.
I dress like Connie Mack. I wear a suit and tie.
Oh, Jeff. Literally nothing makes me laugh more than watching a coach who's dressed like his kids in Little League or travel ball. Like, come on, man. I don't even think to high school. High school coaches do. Okay,
I think most do.
All right, I can live with that. Yeah, they do.
Heck, managers don't even do that in the majors anymore. They all wear hoodies.
So, but I can understand it, I think, a little bit more for high school. I don't know why. There's a delineation line on that. But you want a good chuckle?
Crowd plate, fastballs inside.
Oh, man. All right, we need to go back to the Browns before I get us in trouble. 216-474-0092. Yeah, I know. Hey, what did you think? I asked Daryl at the end. What did you think of the Browns? And I did feel bad for Kevin yesterday. What? You got nothing? All right. Well, when they had Mike Hall out there yesterday, I just like this. Like, put him on the bike. Like, let you know. Even no matter what, he pled not guilty. And I say let this thing play out. Let's hear all the facts. Sometimes I just. I know what people were saying on social media. The story just kind of made me turn my stomach. But there still is, due process in her. And I understand all that stuff. And I, let it play out. But, for the Browns yesterday, probably would have been a good
weird,
idea.
It was weird to see him back on the practice field.
Right? I think the Browns maybe could have put him on a bicycle and just said, okay, he's got plantar fasciitis.
Maybe they did.
You're saying in the middle of practice? Somebody came down and said, although, I mean, they were talking about a shoulder issue.
Stinger.
So, I don't know. It's weird. How much did you guys talk about this when the story broke? I'll be honest with you.
All day.
And
throughout the day.
And general reaction?
As stuff happened throughout the day, we just kept everybody updated, which is the type of thing we do here at 92.3 The Fan. But we talked about it early on. Andy, these issues make you scratch your head, and it's human nature. Everybody, we all know how human beings are, okay? But the thing that just makes me scratch my head each and every time is anytime anything happens with anybody in these situations, it's like, look, man, you just got drafted. You're second overall. Can you not just steer clear of possible rough situations and worry about what you're doing professionally. I mean, the world is sitting there waiting for you to go. And
you were called the next Aaron Donald the week before.
And who knows what happened, but you're in a situation where it's like this pops up. Oh my goodness. I just shake my head. And it's, you know, right now we're talking about Mike Hall Jr.'s situation. We'll be talking about somebody else's situation down the road, and I'll scratch my head again and just think, oh, my goodness.
It's not like the league doesn't try to, although I don't know if they're still doing it. You remember, they used to do the rookie symposium here in Aurora.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do it or not, but I do know that, like, the NBA goes out of their way to make sure. That's, I'm absolutely just, like, my mind's blown every time I hear one of these stories for an NBA guy. Because the NBAPA, the NBA, they, like, they show them every, and I mean every possible scenario about getting in trouble at their rookie symposium. And I know things changed a little bit after COVID, but it was just like to the point where if you saw them walk out of it, there just were no excuses. There were no excuses to just, I mean, they're like, hey, you don't have to be, you don't have to be perfect, but you just don't want to be stupid. You know, you want to go out and have a drink with your buddy? Okay, well, that's, you know, you're legal. But think about what you're doing. What time are you doing it? What kind of position are you in? Who are you hanging out with? What's, you know, what, who, people that are just around you for your money? All those things. And so, you know, when you find them in a position where now you're like, oh, I can't believe that just happened again. It happens way too often. And it's, you know, I'm sure the NFLPA does the same thing. Guys, don't do this.
And Andy, you have, especially in the NFL, you have so many players. Teams can't babysit everybody. I mean, you might say, well, they should keep an eye on these guys. You have what, 85 guys? How are you going to do that? I mean, you're adults. You might be 21 years old and a really young man, but sorry, they start keeping score when you're 18. And you got to be accountable.
All right, there were other big headlines too over the last couple of days. I want to, you know, Daryl brought up this point of, you know, we were kind of joking about how many fights we would see at practice today. And because when you do a joint practice, man, that's just, it's a lot of guys. And that's a lot of, especially if our defensive backs are going to start talking trash to their wide receivers when they've got some pretty good wide receivers. And you're also Minnesota that's coming off some injuries along the way too. So, you know, I look at it and I'm like, sometimes I just think it's this big, you know, pot that's waiting to boil over with emotions with guys that are out there trying to make a team and trying to protect people. Like, if you touch the quarterback in one of these things, then the next thing you know, you've got, you know, one team fighting another team out in the field, and the coaches have to handle it quickly. I don't know. Minnesota had complained a little bit about the way the Browns defense was maybe a little over the top yesterday.
That's what we heard, huh? They were a little feisty.
I can remember time after time seeing the Browns go to Buffalo when we were younger, especially even like around college times for me. So, and that you'd always, the only video you ever saw from those, you might see one long pass and then it was a fight. You always saw the fight video, like, especially when we had like, you had like zero access to camp, but there would always be like one or two TV stations that would take the ride over to Buffalo and they would shoot practice because you could shoot everything back then. And that video was out the next day, or by 6 o'clock, everyone would see the fights that had happened, you know, in Buffalo or when the guys were practicing here. And so I just, you know, these are things that coaches have to worry about, the front offices have to worry about. And I don't know. I look at those situations sometimes and I'm like, all right, so why are they doing this again? If you know you're going to have a fight, I don't know. Just something to ponder there. We'll talk more about it in a second. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.